Having no concept of God before coming to faith, having no fear of God before our eyes, we just winged it for selfish motives. We were man pleasers. We did eye service. We did whatever's best for us. We didn't like it. We took off and did something else. You know, that's not the way we're to be. Now we are to submit to our Lord by submitting to our bosses and obeying them.
Well, thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we finish our look at how we as believers are to behave in the work relationship.
Yes, we do, Dave. And it's so important that we understand this is all in the context of having God's word dwelling richly in us and his peace ruling our hearts. Okay, so how are we to be in the work relationship? Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3, and we're looking at verses 22 through chapter 4, verse 1.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
We're to, for conscience towards God, we're to do the right thing. Doesn't mean you don't pray, Lord, if you want me to go somewhere else. That's nothing wrong with that. But you stay in that situation until God leads you out of that, not you leading yourself out of there, okay? You stay in that situation. Now, some people don't want to hear that, basically. What about slaves these days? They probably would have desired to be free, right? Run away, whatever it might be. But if you look a little further in that passage in 1 Peter, he says, 1 Peter 2:20, for what credit if when you sin and are treated harshly, you endure it with patience? Hey, you blow it at your job or you sin and then they treat you harshly? There's no credit, right? But he says here, but when you do what is right and suffer for it and patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. That's pretty important. For you have been called for this purpose since Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example for you to follow in his steps. Your job just might be you following in the footsteps of Christ because he's going to use it for redemptive opportunities the way you respond to a bad boss. So before you run away and get another job, I'd be praying, Lord, is this where you want me to go yet? And if God gives you the green light, then go ahead. But notice we see here this is what God says we're to do. Okay, so then we are working and we are to obey these commands, to be obedient in everything. Are you listening? Are you obedient? If not, if you go, well, I wasn't there, I had a bad attitude, there it is, and that, just confess it, be forgiven, and step forward, right? Don't get into a guilt trip. You know, that's just pride, that's self-focus. Confess it. Lord, I was wrong. When they asked me to do that, I had a bad attitude. When he asked me to do that, I had a bad attitude, Lord, forgive me. Oh, I'm so sorry. And he'll forgive you, okay? Okay, so that's the command. We're to obey in everything. Now look at the manner. There's a manner in which we obey. Because you could have the Eddie Haskells that come and obey. Oh, Mrs. Cleaver, I did the trash. You know, on the backside, his heart's all wrong, right? You know, doing eye service, whatever, lip service, right? So look at our passage. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service, as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord, rather than men. There's a duality here. You're working for the Lord, but you're treating your people well, right? Okay? Notice he says here, not with a faux fear of man. A faux fear of man, or as a man pleaser, or an eye service. The term says not with external service, or literally with eye service. You know, eye service. What does that mean? That means doing the things to be seen by somebody. Your boss says vacuum, you're like, and he walks up the door and you're like, right? That's eye service. That's doing it for him. Not that way. We're not to do that way, right? We're not to do things for our bosses merely for eye service as those who merely please men, or are literally in Greek, are man pleasers. They're out there to please men. Hey, if we were going to please men, we wouldn't be bond servants of Christ, right? Galatians 1. It should be from a different motive. So he says, don't do that. We are not to be those who do that. And there are people in every work location. If you've worked, you've seen people like that who are like that. They are at the job when the boss is looking, and the minute the boss turns the other way, it's all out the window, right? That's eye service. That's man-pleasing, okay? Okay, we're not to do that. And what about Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5? I'll read this for you. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service or man pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now, before we misunderstand this and say, well, I'm not going to please my boss, I'm not going to be a man pleaser, you know, we start to have a bad attitude, we should be pleasing to our bosses. We should be the most pleasing employees. When they think of their employees, they probably have a huge weight of burden. There's probably a few that come and go, wow, that's a blessing. You know what I'm saying? You know, we should be pleasing them. We should be not man-pleasing, but well-pleasing. Look at our passage here. And actually, let's turn to Titus chapter 2, because this helps us see some of the motivations. Turn to Titus chapter 2. We should not have a fake fear of man or a fake man-pleasing for a show, but we should be well-pleasing. Titus chapter 2, verse 9, urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be what? Look at this. Well-pleasing. Not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith. The term well-pleasing comes from the Greek verb eucharistos. You speaking of good, aristos speaking of that which is pleasing, eucharistos. And so here we see that we should be continually, habitually well-pleasing. Let me ask you, are you well-pleasing to your bosses? Are they pleased when they think of you, that you do your work? And it speaks of a continual, habitual action. And then notice, it speaks of well-pleasing here. And it's interesting, every other time this word is used, it speaks of being well-pleasing to God. But where are we well-pleasing to our masters? Because through them we're serving the Lord, right? Ultimately, we serve Christ and not man. So we should be well-pleasing to our masters on earth, and then we're well-pleasing to him. You know, we need to recognize that this is what the Lord wants us to be. It's not man-pleasing. It's not eye service. It's a heart that is pleasing God and thus pleasing your boss. Now, in this context here, this well-pleasing here, it actually, in this statement here, there to be well-pleasing, and then there's some things that are connected to it grammatically. So everything is well-pleasing, and these other things are connected. It's well-pleasing and not doing this. Well-pleasing and this. You see, it's all connected, okay? So looking here, he says to be well-pleasing. Then he says, not argumentative. Anti-Lego. Anti-against. Lego to say. It means to contradict, to oppose, to argue. It speaks of verbal opposition. There is no way to be well-pleasing when you are opposing your boss with your words. There's no way. We are not to be argumentative. You may be absolutely right. This is the way it needs to be done. If you don't do it this way, there's a way to share those things with your boss, hopefully, without being argumentative. And if they don't listen, you just trust the Lord and you do your work heartily unto the Lord, right? And that, be well-pleasing, but you're not well-pleasing if you're arguing with your boss. I'll tell you that right now. If you've ever been in a position where you've had an employee and they argue with you, that is not well-pleasing. Don't do it, okay? Now, it needs to come from a right heart. It's not some false, disingenuous thing that we saw eye service where you're being real nice to them around them, but then doing something different, okay? And then notice he talks about something else. He says, not pilfering. The term pilfering, nosphidzo, speaks of holding back, misappropriating, stealing, embezzling. It's the same thing that was used to speak of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. And in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it was used to speak of Achan pilfering the gold, you know? Okay? It's not good. You see, we are to not hold back or take anything that's not ours. We're not to do that. We are to be those who do not take anything. Now, sometimes your company will have rules that say, hey, you know, you can do this, you know, pencils are free, take our pencil, that's fine. You know, whatever it might be. You know, or they say, hey, you know, don't worry about it. You got a 5-minute window when you come to work, whatever. You know those rules. But when you are late, you're stealing from your boss, right? When you're taking pencils and pens and stuff from work, you're stealing, you're pilfering. And when you're not doing your work, you're on the internet the whole time, you are stealing time from your boss. Okay? You're pilfering. We're not to be doing that. Now, your boss may say, hey, you need to look at something. You know, there may be certain rules within your work that you can do certain things. But you know when it's not, right? Not pilfering. Not arguing and not pilfering. But notice what he says. But showing all good faith. The term showing means demonstrating.
means giving outward proof, giving ample evidence. The term good faith speaks of faithfulness or trustworthiness. But demonstrating outwardly trustworthiness, that you are trustworthy. How's that? You ask you to do something, you do it. What a horrible thing, a bad messenger, right? It's like thorns in your hands and, you know, whatever it might. You know that proverb, right? Someone who doesn't do what you ask him to do. Or they argue with you. Not right. So here, demonstrating all good faith or faithfulness, you should be giving ample evidence in your actions that you're trustworthy, that you are trustworthy at work. Now, we can't be that way apart from Jesus in us, right? And apart from trusting him. So we've got to have the word in our hearts. If we're having issues, we've got to have the word in our hearts, right? We're to be in relationship to our earthly masters, well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith. And then turn to 1 Peter 2, verse 18. We're also to be respectful. Servants, be submissive to your own masters with all respect. The term respect comes from the Greek word phobos. It means fear. And notice he has it modified with all respect, not just respect, with all respect. We need to recognize that God has sovereignly placed that authority in our lives, and we are to respect the Lord as our authority and those he places in that authority with all respect. Now, we can lose respect for our masters in relationships, or in relationships, we can lose respect, but it doesn't say if they treat you badly, lose respect. Remember, in this same passage, he's saying, even if they're bad, in 1 Peter, he doesn't say, well, if they're bad, don't respect them. We're to have all respect them because you at that moment are under their authority because God says so. You see? So with all respect. That means you got to watch what you say around your coworkers about your boss. It's not respectful to talk about your boss and say, you know, whatever. That's not respectful at all, right? That's not good, right? With all respect. Servants, be submissive to your own masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. And you know what? We're also to treat them worthy of all honor. This is pretty heavy. You're saying, Greg, you're laying it on thick, aren't you? Well, look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. You know, when I look at the slavery in our country, and this kind of came across, and I think the blacks who were enslaved, a lot of them were very religious, and they were very respectful, and they were there are a lot of these things they were obeying. You know that? And God did set them free. But now you see these bad attitudes coming out that are not respectful at all. And we need to be respectful. We need to honor all men, right? Notice here, 1 Timothy 6, verse 1. Let all who are under the yoke as slaves regard their own masters as worthy of all honor. Wow! So that the name of God and our doctrine might not be spoken against. Respect and the act of worthy of all honor. That's pretty thick, isn't it? We need to do that. You know, because God is going to use your righteous reactions to the way they treat you for his redemptive purposes. You see, because we're not here just to work. We're not here to work all week long and then do our own thing and then eventually we die and go to heaven. God is using us now in his redemptive plan. And part of that, he's taking the curse in which you're working and you're under a bad boss or whatever it might be, and he's using it for his good, for redemption. We got to see it from a bigger picture. Worthy of all honor. God has placed them in temporary authority over you. And when you respect them and honor them, regardless of how they treat you, you're respecting God's authority. Okay? And you're honoring the Lord. Now, what if your boss is a believer? Okay? Take a look a little farther down at 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6, verse 2. And this is after granting them all honor. And let those who have believers as their master not be disrespectful to them because they are brethren. You think, hey, you got a little off there because he's a brother, right? You better not do so. But let them serve them all the more. All the more. Because those who partake of the benefit are believers and beloved. Teach and preach these principles. Brother and sister, how do you treat those in authority over you? How do you treat them outwardly? How do you treat them in your heart? How do you do so? Do you see yourself, as we will see, as serving Christ? It's a hard attitude. Look back in our passage in Colossians. Slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men. But now he gives the obvious contrast. But with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. This term sincerity here means singleness. It means an undivided heart.
that my heart is not divided into categories and boxes. I am serving the Lord by serving my boss. It is singleness of heart. It is sincerity of heart. You cannot serve two masters. You're going to hate one or love the other. And notice he says, fearing the Lord. We're to do with singleness of heart and fearing the Lord. And again, parallel passage in Ephesians 6:5. Slaves, be obedient to those your masters according to your flesh with fear and trembling. Phobos and traumas. The word phobos is fear. Traumas means trauma. We should be traumatized at the thought of disobeying God by disobeying our bosses. That should cause us to be traumatized, that I would be rejecting what God has said to go this way against my boss or whatever it might be. With fear, phobos, and traumas. You see, having no concept of God before coming to faith, having no fear of God before our eyes, we just winged it for selfish motives. We were man pleasers. We did eye service. We did whatever was best for us. We didn't like it. We took off and did something else. You know, that's not the way we're to be. Now we are to submit to our Lord by submitting to our bosses and obeying them, you know, with fear and respect. We need to have different. We should be the best employees. Oh, man, there should be such difference. If you obey these things, man, wait till see what happens at your work, man, and women, right? So then this should be in the forefront of our minds as we work. And work is hard. It's by the sweat of our brow. Remember, it's just a season. We're going to find rest. We're going to have rest in for eternity, right? It's hard, but it's good. It's good. So he says, with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. And then notice what he says, and he kind of sums this up here in 23. This is really important. Whatever you do, poieo, whatever you do, whatever you do, and then he says, do your ergon heartily. So he's saying, whatever you do, and the context is work here. It's not everything else. Now, we can apply it to everything in our lives, but the context is work. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. Yes, I'm respecting them, I'm honoring them, but I'm not working for them. He's my boss, and you're in between, and that's why I'm going to respect you and honor you. The term heartily here speaks of the soul, suke, from the soul, ek suke, from the heart, from the core of your being. You work for the Lord rather than men. Do it heartily as for the Lord in everything rather than for men. So let me ask you, have you failed? I have. I think you've all failed too. Maybe you've become lazy, disrespectful, have a bad attitude. Confess and allow God's word to change your heart towards your boss and your circumstances, and do it heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. And then notice there's a motivation here in our passage, knowing, verse 24, that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. This is the key. When you go to work, you're serving Christ. Don't compartmentalize your life. Here's serving Christ at church. Here's serving Christ out in the missionary field. You're serving Christ at your work. It is the Lord, and it's also in our relationships too. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. And then notice he explains, for he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. You see, fellow believer, God is not unjust to reward us when we're obedient to him by obeying our bosses. When we're obeying our bosses with our heart obeying him, God's going to reward you. And this is an interesting word here, and it's only found here in the New Testament in this context. It speaks of not just a reward, but a recompense or a repayment. It's like, guess what? You're getting double pay. You got your paycheck, but you're going to get paid from the Lord. He's going to recompense you. He's going to repay. It's not the word repay. He's going to pay you. And he says here, the reward or repayment of the inheritance. In this inheritance, as we see, this term is a wonderfully interesting word. It has to do with us being heirs and receiving all things. He's going to repay you for what you're doing now in the context of our glorious heavenly inheritance. It's Christ whom you serve. But with that, you need to recognize there's also a payment maybe the opposite way. For 25, for he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. You see, there is a judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, therefore we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. You know, God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap, right? You're going to sow, you're going to reap that. In Ephesians chapter 5, he says, verse 7, with good will render service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatever good thing one does, he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. Isn't that tremendous? Whatever you do in your work situation, when you do unto the Lord and you work in him, you're going to receive it back. Wow, there is great reward for what we do in our work relationships. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. That's the main point. When you go to work, you're serving Christ. Lord Jesus, help me do this well. Help me be well-pleasing, Lord God. Help me learn this to the best of the ability. Lord, help me do my work. Help me respond rightly when they treat me wrongly. Help me not to be argumentative. Help me not to fall into that temptation to steal time from my boss, whatever it might be. It's the Lord you serve. Let me finish up here and talk about masters for a minute, okay? Chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, grant your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. The term masters here comes from the Greek word kurios, where we get Lord. When you see the large cap Lord in the New Testament, it's the same word, but it's speaking of the Lord. But here, you are a Lord of your servants, if you're a boss, okay? He says, grant them, and it's interesting, this word grant is an interesting word. It means hold out or offer continually. Offer continually rightness, righteousness, and fairness. You need to be right and fair. That's what you should be as a believing boss, right and fair, right? Keep offering, 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 offering that, right? And then one last passage to look at, Ephesians 6, 9. And masters, do the same things to them. Give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven. That levels the playing field, doesn't it? You both have the same master. You may be a master on earth and they may be a slave, but you have the same master. So you better treat them well. You better not threaten them. You better treat them well. You better grant them, as we saw, grant them that righteousness and fairness, right? Okay. Offer them justice and fairness. If you're an employer, stop threatening, be just and fair, right? So then, we've seen if we've been raised with Christ, how are we to be? How are we to be in the work relationship? Giving you a lot today, right? The bottom line is, it is Christ Jesus whom we serve, and there will be rewards for what we do, a repayment for what we do. Serve with the right heart. Don't serve with a phoniness. Honor your boss. Honor, respect them, worthy of all honor, respect, and do your work heartily unto the Lord and not unto men.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. So, Greg, what's our takeaway from today?
Well, Dave, our takeaway is simply this, that we as believers who are walking with the Lord, trusting him, allowing his word to dwell richly, allowing his peace to rule our hearts, we should be different in the workplace because we ultimately don't serve our bosses. We serve Christ, and we're to do everything heartily unto him and not unto men. And so if we have a focus that is right on Jesus, understanding that everything we do, no matter what our bosses are like, is for the Lord, it should change the way we are in the workplace. And when Christ is manifest, then he is the one who gets all the glory.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.